Welcome to Medieval Murder, the podcast that brings all things gruesome and historical to the comfort of your own home or a car or wherever it is you're listening from. My name is Hannah Prettyman, and I'm here with my father, Kevin Prettyman.
Hello.
To discuss some of the most famous and infamous murders that took place in the medieval and early modern periods. Medieval Murder came to be first as a blog, then as an Instagram, and now as a podcast. The podcast will feature some of the most famous murders in medieval history, some mini-episode series on different types of medieval murders, and interviews with historians and history enthusiasts alike. Just a few updates. Keep your eyes peeled for a St. Patrick's Day special coming out this month. We are also going to have some special St. Patrick's Day themed merch coming out for a limited release later this month. So today, we are going to be jumping back into Eagle Saga.
We're up to Eagle 9. And, you know, at least if I counted my episodes right. So let's see what he's up to this week. So when we last left Egil, he had just finished raiding with Aragorn, and they were off the coast of Denmark. And it's getting close to being wintertime, and Aragorn decides that he's going to winter in Denmark with Eric the Blood Axe's sons. And that's really not the best option for Egil, because he is, you know, he's got that bad blood with Queen Gunhild, and, you know, Eric is dead at this point, but Gunhild and her son still have a huge dislike for Egil. So Aragorn and Egil are discussing what options they have, and they decide it's best for... Well, Aragorn's like, yeah, you should go back to Norway and then Iceland. And I don't think Aragorn was really thinking that Egil was going to do what he ends up doing. You know, he's thinking maybe he should just go home to Iceland and maybe stop off in Norway, because he's still outlawed there. So what Egil decides to do is he decides to go to Iceland. Or not to Iceland, but back to Norway. And he sails up the Oslo Fjord, and he ends up seeing Thorstein, which was Thor's son, and it makes him a nephew of Aragorn, right? So he's greeted warmly, and he shows up there, and he's going to winter there. And he's got, you know, he's got some of his men with him, and he's got, you know, some of the plunder that he puts in storage from going raiding with Aragorn. But at the time, you know, the king of Norway has heard that Aragorn is down in Denmark with Eric the Blood Axe's sons, and he gets very distrustful of Aragorn, because he's worried that, you know, that the sons are going to come after him and his throne. And so this begins a time where King Haakon is deciding not to trust people related to Aragorn. And so he's kind of running a lot of them out of Norway. And now Egil, another, you know, Haakon's a big fan of Egil. Now he's there with Thorstein in kind of pretty close to Oslo. It wasn't Oslo at the time, but where Oslo is today. But to the east of Oslo is what they call Värmland. And it had been taken under, it's now Sweden, kind of the southern part of Sweden. And it had been taken over kind of by Haakon, and he was sending his envoys down there to collect his tribute. And there was an earl there, Earl Arvid, that he was the earl of the area, and they'd go collect the tribute from him, and they'd return to Norway, but they never made it back. They were always attacked, killed, and robbed. And
Wow,
so
so it's
this is a,
is it really worth it?
yeah, this was really a problem for Hackham because it's all about, collecting that tribute and coming from a position of power. So Egil's hanging out with Thorsten, and some envoys come from the king. And they tell Thorsten that the king has decided that he needs to go collect the tribute from Varmland.
That
He can
Thorsten
either,
does?
yeah, he either needs to go collect the tribute on behalf of the king and get it to the king, or he will be banished from the realm and will be forced to leave Norway. So Egil hears this. And he tells the envoys, a man of Thorstein's standards, this is beneath him to go collect a tribute because of his standing in the community and being the landowner that he is and being a loyal subject to the king, and he'll be happy to accompany the king on any expedition, meaning if the king goes to war, Thorstein will back him up and be part of the people that defend the realm. But it's beneath him to go collect this stuff, to go do this tribute run. So the envoys think about it and they're like, you know what? But Thorsten does say, I'll give you whatever men and supplies you need to go do your journey. So they don't totally poo-poo it, right? So the envoys talk and they're like, what we could do is we'll ask him to send Egil in Thorsten's place. And then somewhere along the way, we can kill Egil, the king will be happy, and then we can figure out how to get rid of Thorsten. The king wants to banish him, we'll banish him. So the envoys come and they tell Egil and Thorsten that, okay, Thorsten doesn't have to go, but Egil, you need to come with us. And Egil says, okay, I'll go. And Thorsten says, what do you need? And they say, well, we need some sleds, we need some supplies, and we need, four additional men. And so Egil agrees to this, and they get the sleds ready because it's wintertime. Sleds, horses, supplies, and three other guys besides Egil. So they start off, and it's a really heavy snow, and they're going through the snowstorm, trudging through the snow, and they kind of get to a fork in the trail. And Egil says, I'm going to take my men and go down this trail this way. There's a guy I know that has a farm, Arnold, and I'll stay there. If you guys keep going up the trail, you're going to come out on top and you're going to run into a farm run by Armand Beard, and you and your guys could stay there, and then we're going to meet, and then the trails come together, and we're going to meet, in the next day or so down here at Thorin's farm, Thorfinn's farm, and we'll meet there, but we're going to separate for the night. So they separate for the night. And immediately, as soon as the king's guys are out of view of Egil, they put on skis and they ski as fast as they can to where the king is. Because the king's fairly close, I take it. So they tell the king what their plan is. That that Thorsten's not coming and that Egil's now on the tribute run. And I think from my reading, I think they essentially abandoned Egil and let Egil and his four guys go do the run.
That's a
Right?
little messed up.
Yep. So then it gets, I mean, there's been a lot of stuff that's messed up in the whole Egil saga, and this next part is probably the most messed up that I've read. So he goes down the Arnold's farm and he tells him. And he knows Armin, and I can't figure out exactly what transpired this evening. But so They go down, they welcome him, and they say, you're welcome to stay here. Let us get you some food and you guys can sleep. Let's get this, we'll get it going. And so they bring him bowls of curd for food, and they're eating the curd, and then they break out the ale, which is exceptionally strong. And Arnold's wife talks to his daughter, calls his daughter over, and his daughter says, and then the daughter goes over to Egil, and Egil's sitting there, and this little girl comes over and says, "My mother sent me to talk to you and bring Egil word to keep on his guard. The maid from of the ale horn said, treat your stomach as if you expect to be served something better." Arnold then slaps his daughter, saying she's always saying the wrong thing at the wrong time.
So
And again,
basically,
the
the little girl is telling him, don't drink it.
it, well, be careful with the ale is what she's telling him,
Yeah.
And like I said, the ale's exceptionally strong, and Arnold's being like really generous with the ale, and he's making toast after toast. And I guess, if someone makes a toast, you have to drink. And Egil's men are getting really drunk, and Egil tells them to stop. And in order, I guess maybe custom or whatever, when there's a toast, now he's not drinking for just Egil, now he's drinking the ale that's being served to his guys.
Oh, so he's
It's,
getting really trashed.
yeah, so he gets so he gets to the point where Egil doesn't think he can do it anymore, keep up with the drinking. So he goes over, he grabs Arnold, and he pushes him up against the post and just vomits on him.
Ew.
Just spews a torrent of vomit on him.
Oh.
To this, when this happens, Arnold spews all over Egil.
Yep.
And so Arnold gets up and runs out of the thing. Well, now Arnold's men are really pissed off at Egil and tell him, Arnold's men tell Egil that he's done a base and despicable deed by not going outside to varmint. Egil's reply to this, "Don't blame me for following the master of the house's example. He's spewing his guts out just as much as me." So, now he's vomited, and then he just keeps drinking. He just polishes everything off that they bring to him.
Wow.
And then he goes to bed for the night. So they bed down kind of in a barn with their horses and the hay. So in the morning, Egil gets up and his men, they're getting ready to go. So now they go look for Arnold, and Egil finds him asleep in his bedchamber, and then the wife and the daughter are in there. And so Egil seizes him, and he's got his sword drawn, and the wife and the daughter are begging Egil not to kill him. So what Egil does is he cuts his beard off as close to the chin as he can, and then he gouges out the guy's eyes. Right?
Why?
I can't. He says he tells the wife and daughter that he would spare him for their sake, as it's a fair thing to do, but if he were worth the bother, I would kill him.
Just because
And
of the strong ale?
well, I think, I don't know. I had to think about it for a long time and read it several times to see if maybe I missed something. And I don't know if Egil didn't like the fact that he slapped his daughter, or Egil didn't like the fact that he felt Arnon was trying to make him look bad by making him drink so much, by continuing to make toast after toast. It was a challenge to Egil. And in the reading, it kind of comes out that, while he knew him, Arnold was really kind of a despicable man. And so I don't know if it's just like some Egil justice coming on down. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know.
So, yeah, that is the one so far in the reading that I couldn't really find a reason for the violence.
Yeah, weird.
Now, and it's mu I think it was really subtle. I think he was being challenged by Arnold with the excessive drinking and the continued toast and
But the ale wasn't poisoned because everybody was drinking it, right?
right. There's no poison, so I don't know.
But man, gouged out his eyes.
Gouged out his eye, cut off his beard. So Egil and his men then traveled to the Thorfinn farm, and he was going to meet the king's envoys there. And when he got there, Thorfinn was happy to see him, and Thorfinn told him he'd seen six heavily armed men traveling past just before daybreak. And one of the farmhands there said he thought they were Armand Beard's men. And that's the farm where he told the king's envoys to go to.
Okay.
So Thorfinn asked them all to sit down and eat, and Egil saw a sick woman lying on the bench. And he asked about her. And it turned out to be Thorfinn's daughter Helga. And he said she was suffering from a wasting sickness and could not sleep at night because of some kind of delirium. And Egil asked if they had tried anything, and they said the son of a farmer who lives nearby had carved some runes. Egil said he would like to try and help, and they agreed. So he had her bedclothes aired, and then he took the runes out of the bed, and he read the runes, and then the runes were carved on whalebone, and so he read the runes and he carved them off and burned what he carved off in the whalebone in the fire. And he made the comment that, no man should carve runes unless he could read them. So I have no idea what was on the runes. So
Something bad.
Egil sat down and he carved some runes of his own, and he put them under her pillow, and they brought her back in and laid her in the bed. And shortly thereafter, she said she felt like she was awaking from a deep sleep and said she was well again, but still very tired. So overjoyed by their daughter's recovery, they offered Egil whatever supplies he was going to need for his journey. So he made some new friends.
Yeah.
So when Egil goes to continue his journey, Thorfinn, his son, and a couple of men want to accompany Egil as they felt the men in the woods were preparing to ambush him. Egil reluctantly agrees to let them come. When Egil and his men got to the spot he felt that danger was lurking, he sent Thorfinn and his son and his men home. So he didn't want to get them into anything. And shortly after, Egil notices six men lurking in the woods, and they pop out and they battle with Egil, right?
Okay.
So Egil kills two of them, with the other four running back into the woods.
And this is on the way
And
to collect things from
Arvid. Arvid.
Yeah.
And this is on the way to go see the Earl.
Okay.
But I think, if they were Armand Beard's men, the king's envoys went there and probably paid them or talked them into trying to ambush them. I still, spoiler alert, we still never find out what happens to the king's envoys that disappeared on the skis, if they just went to the king and never came back. So I couldn't tell if these guys were the king's envoys or if they were Armand Beard's men. It kind of
Weird.
indicated in the text that it was Armand Beard's men.
Okay.
So they continue on the journey, the guys, and they continue on, and they meet with a farmer called Alf. He was Alf the Wealthy.
Nice.
And Alf the Wealthy was very an unsociable guy. I mean, he didn't have a whole lot of people working on his farm because he did not like to be around people. But he did greet Egil and his men warmly. And Alf was very talkative with Egil. They talked mostly about the envoys that have come and gone trying to collect the taxes or the tribute for the king. And they talked about the Earl. And it became apparent that Alf was no fan of Earl Arvid, that he didn't like him, had no respect for him. So as Egil was preparing to leave, the next day, he gave Alf a really nice fur coat. And Alf was very touched and said, he really appreciated it. And he said he's going to turn it into a really nice fur cape. And he invited Egil, on his return journey. If he and his men wanted to stop by, they were welcome. So Egil and his men continue on the journey and they reach Earl Arvid's. And they were actually well received by the Earl. They were given seats near the head of the table. And Egil told them the king's message that he had been sent to collect the tribute, and told them that, Arvid still owed this tribute to the king and told him what was happening to the envoys. And so Arvid wasn't really, he's like, it's not really my fault that, I gave it to these guys, and, if they ran off and stole it, or if they got killed and lost it, it's not my fault. But in the end, he agreed to pay the tribute. And he paid some in silver and gold, but most of it he paid in furs. And so when Egil's getting ready to leave, he tells Arvid that, he'll make sure the stuff gets to the king. And, but he also kind of tells him, there's a lot of thought that it's actually you who are killing the envoys and stealing your stuff back. And so after Egil leaves, Arvid calls two brothers, and they're both named Ulif. The brother's named Ulif. He calls them and says, I want you to take a bunch of men, and I want you to stop Egil. I want you to kill him and bring the stuff back, because if he gets back to the king, it's going to be super bad for us, because the king is going to have a severe wrath on us, if Egil tells him what he's just told me. And what Arvid didn't realize is that the king already felt that way, and it had nothing to do with Egil, coming up with this idea. The idea was already out there. So they take 30 guys and they start to try and catch up to Egil. And there's a lot of forks and trails, apparently. So there's a fork in this trail, and one Ulif takes 15 guys and goes one way, and the other Ulif takes 15 guys and goes the other way. And they haven't figured it out how fast they were, but somehow they got ahead of Egil. So Egil continues on, and he goes back and he stays with Alf the Wealthy. So he's staying with Alf the Wealthy, and Alf comes in the morning that Egil's getting ready to leave and says, you really need to be careful, because if you go, I've noticed a lot of foot traffic on the trail, a lot of tracks, and that there's many, many men. And so Egil starts off and he's going up the trail, and he gets to the split, and he can see where the tracks split. And he's like, this is the first time he's like, I think Alf might be onto something here. So he's like, okay, we're gonna kind of move on. So they take a trail, and the trail's kind of, one goes up a ridge and one goes down kind of by a river, and there's a bluff and a ridge above it. And so he starts to take this trail, and they get confronted, and there's guys shooting arrows down at him from the bluff, and there's guys throwing rocks from the ridge. And it said that the rocks were more of a problem than the arrows. So Egil tells his men to kind of get to the bottom of the bluff, and he's going to go up on the bluff and see what's going on up there.
Yeah.
So Egil goes up on the bluff, and he's confronted by eight guys up there. Egil's by
By
himself.
himself, he's by himself. Okay.
And he's confronted by eight guys. There's no real description of the fight, but at the end of it, there's eight guys dead and Egil still alive.
Well,
Right.
Egil is a badass. He's always been a badass.
And so he goes to the edge of the bluff, and now he's got a vantage point of the guys that are throwing rocks down at his guys. So
So he's
he
above
be
them?
yeah, he's above them.
Okay.
So he's got a vantage point. So now he starts chucking rocks down at the seven guys. Okay. And this is some. So there's seven guys down there. He kills three of them throwing rocks. He must have been
Wow.
some big rocks, but Egil was a big dude.
Well, that
Right.
and he has some good aim.
Yeah, exactly. So he kills three more, and the four of them run back off into the forest. So Egil comes down and he's like, okay, let's move on. And now they're kind of going on this kind of flatter trail. And nine guys start attacking him from the back.
Wow.
So Egil immediately kills one guy. His other guys are fighting with the remaining eight, and then more guys attack from the front. So Egil takes off and rushes forward and gives a few quick blows to some of the guys that are close and kills them. The others
Okay.
kind of run to flatter ground. Egil runs up and kills 11 guys. Well,
Wow.
by the time he's done, he's killed 11 guys
Okay.
in this part of the fray. Now, I don't know if for our purposes it's kind of sad because we don't have a lot of details, a lot of blood and gore for this one, but all we have is kind of the death count.
Yeah.
So then Egil returns to where his guys have kind of held some guys at bay, held the remaining eight at bay. And they end up killing, I think, another three
Okay.
of the guys. And by this time, both of the brothers Ulf are dead. There's five guys that are remaining, and they run into the forest and they go back to Earl Arvid.
Okay.
So Earl Arvid says this is the worst possible outcome.
Yeah.
You know, we're going to face the wrath of the king.
Yeah,
And
because he didn't kill this
right.
envoy.
Yeah, he didn't kill this envoy. And the rest of the story is that, you know, after all this dust settles, I think the king takes his army himself and goes and runs Earl Arvid out and installs a new earl, and things get better.
Okay.
So he does face the wrath of King Haakon. So Egil continues on and gets to Thorfinn's, where Thorfinn's excited to see him, you know,
Yeah.
and they spend some time at Thorfinn's, and because they all have wounds, Egil included, from their battle, and they get their wounds dressed and they kind of recuperate and recover a little bit. And when they get ready to go, they're kind of worried that maybe Armand Beard might attack them again. And so Thorfinn gets all his guys together and accompanies Egil through the forest. And Egil makes it back to Thorstein. But apparently Armand Beard had heard what had happened with the 30 guys that the Earl had sent, and he didn't want any part of Egil. He decided to just leave it.
I mean, yeah.
We're not even gonna challenge him. So they make it back to Thorstein's, and at this point, they send the tribute to the king, And the king reconciles with Thorstein, and views him now as a trusted guy, and is still on the edge about Erenborn, but Thorstein can stay.
Okay.
So he can stay. So Egil spends the next winter, he kind of hangs out with Thorstein, winters there, finishes it up, and then he returns to Iceland,
Okay. Yeah.
and so he returns to Vard, and upon his return, like most of the original people that he had settled Iceland with, they had passed on. They were no longer, and we're now like into
Okay.
second and
So,
third generations.
well, so how old is
So,
Eagle now?
he's getting up there,
Like, so are we thinking like 60s?
it's really hard to tell time in the sagas,
Yeah.
and
But I mean, if we're two generations.
I'm thinking he's two generations. What the saga says is the people that the original settlers that he came with were all gone,
Okay.
and so it's at least one generation,
Yeah.
right? And he's got several kids,
Yeah.
and so he comes back, he goes to Borg, and he just kind of settles in. By this time, Thorgood and Bera, his two daughters, have married, and they're kind of living on farms themselves. There's an
Okay.
incident, I think, between Thorgerd's husband and another landowner, and it had to do with cows and land and marshes and a fence. And in the end, a bunch of slaves are killed, and they think, because they were stealing cows from Thorgerd's husband, from her
Okay.
family.
Yeah.
And there's some bad blood between these two families, and they've got slaves, and the slaves were caught killing the cows, and they were all killed. No one seems to know who killed the slaves, but it's thought it was Egil as a message to stop stealing the cows.
Okay.
And so, but it was never really proven,
Yeah.
and as Egil's wife, life starts to wind down. He's got his two sons, Bolvard and Gunnar, and then he's got a third one, Thorstein. So I'm not sure how many years it is since he's been back, but I find this part interesting. Bolvard is doing some logging, and he's putting timber on a ship, and they're sailing it, and a storm comes up, and the ship sinks, and Bovard and all his guys drown.
Wow.
So it's the death of Egil's son. And so Egil goes and he finds him washed ashore, brings him home, and buries him in the tomb where he buried his father.
Sad.
And Egil comes back to the house, goes into a deep depression, and just walks into, I guess, essentially what would be his bedroom, and shuts the door and doesn't come out. And he doesn't eat, he doesn't do anything. And this goes on for a couple of days.
Wow, okay.
So Asgard, his wife, sends for the daughter Thorgerd, sends her a message, and she comes to Egil's place and walks in, and he's just laying in his bed despondent, and she walks in and jumps on the bed with him and says, if you're gonna die, I'm gonna die with you. I'll just lay here with you and we'll both die together.
That this is his wife?
No, this is his daughter.
Oh, okay.
And so she's chewing on something, and I don't exactly know what it is. She's chewing something and she talks Ego into chewing on it too. And he's chewing on it and he drinks some, and it makes you really thirsty. And so, he doesn't want to eat anything. He doesn't want to drink anything. And Thurgood talks him into having a drink of water. So he gets, she
Okay.
gives him the cup, and it turns out to be milk. And now he's like, "You've tricked me." Now he's had like some nutrition and substance, and you tricked me. And in the end, Thorgood says, "If you really want, what I'd really like for you to do is write a poem about Bolvar." And so, because he was quite the poet, we
Yeah.
think of him as the warrior, but he was quite the poet. So that brings him out of his funk, and he writes this big poem. It's a really interesting poem, but it's really long, so I'm not going to read it here.
Yeah.
So he comes out of his funk. But what I found interesting was that the other son, Gunnar, had already died. And there's no big to do, but he's included in the poem.
Okay.
But it was the death of Bolvar that really got to him. And I don't know if maybe I can't find out how Gunnar died. I don't know if it was when Ego was out and about doing his thing, or what happened there.
So now
Right?
two out of his three sons have died.
Correct.
Okay.
So as Egil ages, he goes blind. He starts going blind. And he goes to live with his daughter and her husband Grimm in Mosfeld.
Okay.
And so as he gets older, and one summer he tells Grimm that he wants to go to the thing one last time.
Go to the thing.
The thing where they, the rocks are there in Pringle National Park, where they have, where everybody comes, and it's kind of the legal assembly, and they
Oh,
voice their
okay.
concerns. So he wants to go to the thing one more time.
Okay.
And so Grimm's like, "Yeah, I guess I could take you to the thing." And then he talks to his wife and says, "Can you find out why he really wants to go to the thing?" And so it comes that Egil's like, "Yeah, I want to go to the thing, and I'm getting older, I'm gonna die soon." And he said, "I want to go to the thing, I want to get up on the rocks, and I want to throw all my silver down to the crowd at the thing. I just want to give away my thing." And but what he really wanted to do was see the chaos that would ensue as people started trying to get the
Okay, so
silver and gold.
he wants to create a ruckus.
Right. And he wants to create a ruckus, but he also wants to cement like a legacy. I mean, if you did
Yeah.
that, people would be like, "Oh,
Yeah.
that would I mean, he has lived on. I mean, we're talking about him right
Yeah,
today."
that's true. I mean, I think it's more.
Yeah, but
Yeah.
he wanted to create a ruckus and really cement his legacy. So when Grimm finds this out, he's like, "I'm not taking you to the thing." So Egil gets upset. And so one day he tells one of the slaves that, to get his horse ready, he wants to go to one of the pools to bathe. So he rides off with his two chests of silver. And
Okay.
the next day they find him, his horse is leading Egil, because he's blind, leading him back across the hay fields. And when they lost, but he doesn't have the silver anymore. So no one knows what happened to his silver. He didn't say where he buried it. It didn't get buried with him, right?
Yeah.
So no one knows what happened to his silver. And it's supposedly there in Mosfeld. He might have gone up the slopes. It's thought there's a river there. It might be on the south side. There's some swampy areas, and then there's some like geothermal pools and some pits that it maybe his silver is in there. And I guess people have gone out and looked for it, tried to find Eggle's silver along with his dad's treasure at his burial mound.
Okay.
And so, shortly after that, Eggle dies of an illness, a very, who knows what killed him, but it wasn't, he didn't die in battle. He just died of an illness. And Grimm buries him in a burial mound. I can't even say this. I won't even attempt it. With his clothes and weapons, and the mound was supposedly at Tjalnes. It's Tjaldanes is where he got buried.
Okay.
But the son-in-law Grimm, he gets baptized a Christian, and so he has Egil's
Oh,
bones
after this?
dug up, has his bones dug up and moved to a churchyard, right? Let me check
That
here.
seems a little messed up.
Well,
You know, Egil wasn't a Christian.
right. Well, so actually, Grimm had built a church at Mulsfeld. And then I guess one of
Oh, okay.
his daughters moved his bones to the church. And
Okay.
that there's some support to the fact that when a cemetery was dug after the church that Grimm had built was taken down, human bones were found under the side of the altar. They were much larger than normal human bones, and on the basis of old accounts, people are certain they must have belonged to Egil. The priest and a wise man
Yeah.
was there at the time. He picked up Egil's skull and put it on a wall of the churchyard. The skull was astonishingly large and even more incredible for its weight. It was all ridged on the outside like a scallop shell. Curious to test its thickness, took a fair-sized axe handle on one hand and struck the skull with it as hard as he could to try and break it. A white mark was left where he struck the skull, but it neither dented nor cracked. This goes to prove that such a skull would not have been easy for weak men to damage when it was covered with hair and skin. And Egil's bones were buried by the edge of the churchyard at Mostel. So I don't know if his grave is still there or not.
Yeah, that would be really cool to go see.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure we could. I should, you know what? I wasn't even thinking. I was up late last night trying to finish this up, but I should have Googled to see if, Egil's grave, there's a picture of it.
Yeah, that would be cool. So if I find it, I'll post it on the episode for this
Oh,
week.
on the. Oh, that'd be good. And so,
Yeah.
what I found, I mean, we keep talking about Egil, and the things I think we should remember about him was, one, he was a poet. He was a poet. That's really how he started. If you think
Yeah.
back to his first thing, he got to go places because he had a quick thing, and then when he got there, they quickly go to shit, if you remember in episode 1. But
Yes,
so he was a
it's true.
poet, he was a warrior, he could be a very, very loyal friend, extremely loyal friend. He was loyal to his family, but he's also a man with like a really short temper and a guy that held a grudge.
Yeah. I
And I
can't
don't know
believe
what your
Egil has
thought
come to
is
an
on it,
end.
but I mean, do you think the grudge, I know. Do you think the grudge part of it is all Eggle? Because like Gunhild, or was he just reacting to people who didn't like him? Because Gunhild and Erik the Bloodaxe, they wouldn't let it go.
I mean, I wouldn't let it go either, considering he killed their sons. You know?
Correct. Correct. Okay. Yeah, so I don't know. And then I did, I mean, it's from Wikipedia. I did find some references to Egil in popular culture, if you're interested. I'm interested, so. So
Yeah.
there in Iceland, there's a brewery, Olgrinn Egil Skallgrimsson is named after him. There's a talk show on Icelandic television called Egil Silver and named after Egil's hidden treasure. Egil's Silver is also the name of a song by the Megas from his first album. And the Society for Creative Anachronism, there's an Egil Skallgrimsson Memorial Tournament held annually on Memorial Day weekend. So
Wow.
he's all in popular culture.
Yeah, he's still, yeah, his legacy has remained.
Yeah, well, and then there's the Egil Saga is a song on the album by Lick, the German band. The lyrics are taken from Egil's Saga and tells the story of a girl made sick by the runes and how Egil cured her. So,
Oh,
we talked
wow.
about the runes. We talked about the runes today and the sick girl and how he cured her.
Yeah.
So, yeah, he lives on.
Wow, yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah. So, what I found is that Egil lived from like 904 to 995. So he was 90 or 91.
Wow, okay.
So, I mean, you think about all the trips he made, and they're not, those trips could be years,
Yeah.
but so he may have been as old as 90, 91
Yeah, that
when
is
he died,
crazy.
if that is accurate. And I mean, think about it at the time. I was thinking about it today. It's like, I mean, I've got modern medicine. There's no way I'm making it to 90.
Mean, that's not true.
And he's running around, I don't know,
Still
just
killing people, still.
still doing his thing,
And still wanting to make some mayhem.
Oh yeah, the pe people don't change a whole lot, even when you're blind.
Yeah, or 90.
Yep. So,
Wow.
but
Wow.
so I'll.
Well, 9 parts of Egil's saga, and it has finally come to an end.
It has. And for people who are interested, what I was using for my reference is the Sagas of the Icelanders. It's got a preface by Jane Smiley. And what you find is there's not really one author in it. Someone put together different translations by different people who worked on the different sagas.
Okay.
And so there's the sagas of the Icelanders, while we've been talking about Egil's saga, there are numerous sagas here of the Icelanders. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. There's like 12 different ones. If you want to talk about Erik the Red, coming to the Vinland sagas, Saga of the Greenlander. I mean, so it's a big book. It's something that it's really interesting. If you're interested, again, the Sagas of the Icelanders. Good book, lots of info. If you guys are interested in hearing another saga, shoot us a message. Or we'll look for something else to talk
Yeah.
about.
Yeah. Well, Thank you for listening to Medieval Murder and for sticking around for nine parts of Egil's saga. I hope you really enjoyed it. If you have any listener questions, comments, or topic suggestions, or if you'd like to collaborate on an episode, please feel free to reach out via our Instagram account at Medieval Murder or via email at info.medievalmurder@gmail.com. Tune in later for our next podcast.